Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, installing energy-efficient windows to help lower utility bills year-round. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 28th. I'm Abby Larico. A small town north of Rolla is facing a water pollution problem, forever chemicals.
I think we're one of the first communities that are really attacking it right now and trying to get the ball rolling.
Why the countdown is on for the town of Vienna to confront the environmental issue. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. About 100 people gathered in Collinsville yesterday to protest a bill that would phase out their school's Native American mascots. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports that law change is working its way through the Illinois legislature.
In the Metro East, the Collinsville Cayhawks, Muscoota Indians, and Kokia Comanches are some of the 11 schools that could be required to change. Muscoota Athletic Director Scott Battis says they respect the need for understanding and sensitivity, but they're proud of their mascot.
Our Indian mascot at Muscoota is not a caricature. It's not a punchline. It represents our community's spirit, resilient, proud, and deeply rooted. It isn't at all about defiance. It's about our history.
Proponents, however, argue Native American imagery can be harmful, racist, and offensive. The bill has passed the House and is awaiting committee assignment in the Senate. In Collinsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is appealing a temporary freeze on the state's abortion laws. Last week, Governor Mike Kehoe signed a law allowing the Attorney General to appeal preliminary injunctions on state constitutional provisions or state statutes. Since that law went into effect immediately, Bailey appealed to the Missouri Supreme Court a judge's temporary pause of a number of abortion laws, including freezing licensing requirements for abortion clinics and a 72-hour waiting period for the procedure. The preliminary injunction followed a constitutional amendment protecting abortion rights that went into effect last year. Dr. Matisse Lashuayo-Davis announced plans to resign from her position as director of the St. Louis Department of Health. The high-profile infectious disease physician took over during the coronavirus pandemic in 2021 under then-Mayor Tashara Jones. She oversaw creation of mobile health units and the formation of the city's Behavioral Health Bureau. The health director says she made the decision after prayer, reflection, and conversation. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green praised Lashuayo-Davis for increasing staffing at an agency that she says was struggling.
She really hit the ground running and I think has, you know, raised the caliber of our health department, and it needed it.
Lashuayo-Davis did not state a reason for leaving. The city will continue to employ her as it looks for a replacement. Voters in Baldwin have elected their first Black alderwoman. Tequila Gray will be installed in office today, and as St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Gray says her biggest challenge will be proving to the city and the board that there's room for all people in government.
Tequila Gray got fired up about running for Baldwin's Board of Aldermen after some of the board members dismissed her complaints on walkability in the community. She says this seat is reflective of the change that the city is ready for.
Even though I don't fit the image of what they think Baldwin looked like, Baldwin is ready for a new image. And I need everyone to know that because I can do this, that other people can do it too.
Besides fighting for safer streets and board transparency, Gray says she will use her influence to encourage more women and people of color to run for city government positions. Gray will represent Baldwin's second ward. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Farmers are planning to grow fewer acres of soybeans this year in what's become a national shift away from the export-driven crop. Federal data shows producers intend to plant about 4% fewer acres across the U.S. than in 2024. Barrett Nelson is an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, and he says the soybean market has been hurt by escalating tariffs between the U.S. and China.
We cannot talk about soybeans without thinking about China. And that's because they are such a massive buyer of U.S. soybeans.
Nelson says many farmers are planning to shift acres to corn. That crop's prices have been improving in recent months. The American Soybean Association released a statement earlier this month saying escalating tariffs are not only a threat to this year's growing season, but to the industry long term. Missourians can participate in a series of free birding webinars by the Missouri Department of Conservation in preparation for its first ever Missouri Birding Challenge starting this week. Abby Noreco has the details.
The Missouri Department of Conservation's webinars will include participants to birding and educate them on specific issues around wildlife and environmental conservation. One of the webinar speakers, Dana Ripper, is the co-director of the Missouri River Bird Observatory.
It is things that one can do in everyday life that will collectively have potentially good effects on our birds.
One action people can do is treat their windows so that they become safer for birds. Another webinar will focus on the journeys Missouri's migratory birds make every year. A full schedule of birding webinars and registration for the Birding Challenge will be available on the Missouri Department of Conservation's website. I'm Abby Noreco.
Registration for the Birding Challenge runs through April 30th. Missouri has begun testing drinking water systems for forever chemicals in accordance with new rules from the Environmental Protection Agency. As Harshon Ratanpal reports, early results show the Marys County town of Vienna has 4 years to clean up its water supply.
The drinking water in Vienna, Missouri is contaminated with high amounts of a chemical called perfluoroctane sulfonic acid, or PFOS. That's a man-made chemical created shortly after World War II. It was used in a variety of manufacturing and non-stick household products like 3M's stain repellent, Scotchgard.
It keeps ordinary spills from becoming extraordinary stains on virtually any fabric. Use Scotchgard fabric protector and let your cup run it over.
3M and other companies phased out PFOS in the early 2000s, but similar chemicals are still used in everyday items like nonstick coating and nail polish. This class of chemicals is called PFAS. They're also called forever chemicals because they don't break down for a long time, including in drinking water and humans. Exposure has been linked to thyroid disease, certain cancers, and risks to newborns.
So PFAS has had a lot of national attention, enough so that EPA has proceeded with a rule. It's to protect that public health for not only male, female, but also those children and unborn children.
That's Eric Medlock. He's in charge of monitoring drinking water for Missouri's Department of Natural Resources. Federal guidelines now require water systems to test for PFAS in the next few years and treat them if levels stay high.
Missouri is actively working on the initial monitoring stage of the rule to help water systems collect data.
The EPA set two standards for PFAS concentrations, a health-based goal and a more practical legal limit. For PFAS, the goal is 0 parts per trillion, and the legal limit is 4 parts. In Vienna's drinking water, the department found a PFAS concentration of 20 parts per trillion.
If that level remains consistent or above that 20 parts in April of 2029, that system would be immediately in violation and required to put on some type of treatment.
Residents have had mixed reactions since learning the news. Some weren't worried at all, like Henry Ellis Crum Jr., an 82-year-old who owns a hardware shop.
I drink the water, and I don't see that it's killed anybody.
Some business owners are worried this will drive away customers. After all, some residents already don't drink the town's water because this isn't the first time there's been an issue with it. Vienna used to be home to a hat factory throughout the mid to late 20th century. It provided stable jobs for many families in town, but it also leaked a toxic chemical into the water called tetrachloroethylene, or PCE, which the EPA says is likely carcinogenic. The agency knocked down the old factory in the 2010s and is treating the groundwater now. That contaminated well water used to go straight to people's homes. Today, Vienna's drinking water is free of PCE thanks to a treatment plant built in 2012. It cost millions of dollars, and even though federal grants helped cover half the cost, the city still had to increase utility rates to pay for it. And that system doesn't remove forever chemicals. City Superintendent Sean Westart says a similar solution isn't off the table for PFAS treatment, but any fix will take time.
I think we're one of the first communities that are really attacking it right now and trying to get the ball rolling. We went through some grants that we can possibly get, you know, to do extra sampling. And I think that's where we're going to start.
Vienna's water system currently serves about 600 customers, including local schools. I'm Harshon Ratanpal.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.